Mahershala opens up the door, and he's dressed in yellow. Yeah, because he invented that color. And he's wearing yellow just for me, bitch.
Yes.
Anyway, he's got one hand on the and the other one is holding on to something. And that looks sinful. Yeah, I know. This is for you, he says. And then he follows up with, try it. And this is the pièce de résistance, okay? Because he then raises it to my lips. And naturally, because I am as God made me, I nibble at the and when I tell you that flavor explodes on my tongue.
What?
And I know right then, right there, I will never again eat a that tastes so good.
Shit.
I'm Bim.
And I'm Nicole. And today we welcome you into the fold of Thirst Aid Kit.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am superb.
Why are you in such a good mood?
Okay. The reason why I am in such a good mood is that I woke up and I thought of the color yellow.
Yeah.
And naturally, I thought of the man who invented the color yellow.
Ooh, Mahershala.
That's the one.
I love him.
I know. I'm so happy. He is the subject, the object, the beginning, the end of today's episode.
He's the alpha and omega.
He is King Thirst of Thirstville. I just want to feed him kale. I am hella excited. So anyway, kick your shoes off.
Yeah.
Have a glass of something chilled.
Yeah. I hope our listeners are wearing yellow in tribute.
I really hope they are. I mean, I was. So anyway, this is Thirst Aid Kit.
And welcome.
So, Nicole, we are going to be talking a lot about Mahershala's career and all the good things that we want to do with and to him. Wow. But first of all, we have another edition of a wonderful segment known as Thirst Sommelier. That's right. It's the segment where listeners call in, tell us about their crushes, and then we recommend, based on this original crush, more people for them to crush on.
Right. Today's voicemail is all about Andrew Lincoln. And if you heard the Great British Bake Off episode, or even just follow Bim on Twitter, you know that her love for him cannot be compared. Like, it is beyond anything that we have ever seen before.
In the words of Sylvester, he makes me feel mighty real. Anyway, let's listen to this voicemail.
Hi, Bim. Hi, Nicole. This is Erica. So your mission, if you choose to accept, is to find me a recommendation based off of the wonderful, deliciously sexy Andrew Lincoln from The Walking Dead. Ooh. Now, I know this is Bim's expertise, besides the fact that he has the most gorgeous blue eyes that you could literally backstroke in. They're so beautiful. He seems very sweet, goofy, and charming. He acts his ass off on Walking Dead, and it helps that his insane chemistry with his fellow co-star, Denai, he has the best kisses with her, is just crazy. He just seems so goofy and endearing, and I just love him. So, ladies, that's your challenge. Find me someone who you think would pair perfectly with Mr. Andrew Lincoln.
All right, so, whew.
Yeah, first of all, thanks, Erica, for calling in. That was a wonderful voicemail.
So I have a lot of complex feelings because, to be perfectly fucking honest, Erica, no one compares to my main bae, Mr. Andrew Lincoln, or, you know, as his real government name is, Andrew Clutterbuck. Already too cute for words.
Oh, my gosh, that you know his, like,
fam,
government.
I'm in. I'm all the way in. I've leaned in so far, I can't be straightened ever again. But I had a little cast around in my brain. Mm-hmm. I believe that you will also like a man by the name of Richard Armitage.
He's a British actor. Him.
So, first of all, they both have something that is my weakness. Big noses. Richard Armitage's nose is big enough that you could board it like a ship. So I'm a big fan of his nose. But more than that, he also has that intense actor thing that you appear to love, Erica. And I love it. I don't know if you've seen Richard Armitage in the BBC adaptation of Elizabeth Gaskell's novel North and South. If not, watch it.
Immediately.
Bruv. There's a great line in there where he says about, you know, his departing love is leaving. And he's standing and looking at her carriage depart through a window. And he says in this beautiful northern accent, and he says, "Look back at me." The first time I heard that, I actually melted into a puddle and had to be brought back to life by the emergency services. Anyway, the second guy I was going to think of very quickly is Lenny James. Now, Lenny plays Morgan on The Walking Dead alongside Andrew Lincoln. There is something about Lenny that I find exceedingly hot. Maybe it's the fact that he has like this really great like London accent. I think it's South London, and it just makes me feel comfortable and at home. But also, as Bridget and I discussed on the British Bay Off episode, there's something about a familiar accent that makes you just feel, you know, tingly. And Lenny has that. He also has the cheekiest little smile. I clench when I'm watching him. Like, I'm just so enamored of his talent. And that's not a euphemism. Like, he is just, he's so obviously and just intensely talented. So those are my two options. Nicole, do you have anyone that you would like to throw Erica's
way?
Yeah,
I have one. And it's, you know, it's someone that you, Bim, you kind of make a face at when, you know.
Go on. Let's hear who it is.
So I'm going to say Aiden Turner. He, the silence that Bim just gave me.
No, listen, I love Aiden Turner. Go on, please.
Okay, yeah. He's an Irish actor. People in the U.S. probably are familiar with him from his work in the Hobbit film series, where his face was uncovered. Like, a lot of people who are hobbits, they were, like, they had a lot of prosthetic makeup and stuff like that. But strangely enough, fortunately enough, his face was pretty much left undisturbed.
Yeah.
He's also in the original UK series Being Human, where he played a vampire.
Yes.
Yum. I love me some vampires.
So that's where I fell in love with him also. He has great curly hair, superb, intense eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, just beautiful.
And he's currently starring in the series Poldark. His hair is incredible, just curly, thick, dark hair. He also has this little gap in his front teeth, and he has this very mischievous, cheeky smile.
Yep.
He looks like he's trouble, you know, like in a good way.
In the best way.
Yeah.
The best kind of trouble.
Yeah. And if he's problematic, I don't know, obviously, because I'm not very aware of like Irish and British news and stuff like that. So I don't know, like, if he's done anything horrible. If he has, please let me know, and I will definitely cross him off the list. But Aiden Turner, hair, cheeky smile, hair.
Yes. what a recipe. So I hope that's helped you, Erica. I have, if it's not enough, let me know. I have other options. I just feel like those are the ones that most closely align with what you're looking for.
And if any other listeners out there want us to help them with their crushes, to give them someone else to lust after, please feel free to give us a call. Leave a message at 765-884-4778. That is 765-8-THIRST. If you are internationally based, you can email us at thirstdatekit@buzzfeed.com.
Mm-hmm. Just a short little voice message, literally 25 seconds. Just tell us who you lust after and how we can help you.
So for those of you out there who may not be familiar with Mahershala Ali, I'd like to go through a couple of his film and TV credits very quickly, because I think a lot of people are familiar with him from Luke Cage and Moonlight, the film. Luke Cage is the Netflix series. But Mahershala Ali has been around for quite a while.
Yes, he has.
He's kind of experiencing that overnight success that a lot of Black actors experience when they're in their 40s or something, when they've actually been doing the work for 20, 25 years, but they don't get the same kind of opportunities as their white counterparts.
I mean, for more information, you could go to BuzzFeed.com, the website, and read Nicole's piece on this phenomenon. But anyway, back to Mahershala.
Yes. So Mahershala Ali was actually in a television series called Crossing Jordan in the year 2001. He was also in a short-lived series, The 4400. He was in Tremé for several episodes, another TV series called Alphas, before he landed on the series that I think a lot of people know him from as Remy Danton, House of Cards.
Ah, yes, House of Cards, which has had some drama because of allegations against its lead star.
Right.
But yeah, House of Cards was definitely where I saw Mahershala, and I thought to myself, oh, yeah, him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was the first time, because I'd seen him in other things. I mean, you've mentioned a couple of his credits. He was also in The Hunger Games.
Right.
Which is interesting because that's a big old franchise. But anyway, yes. You know, I'd seen him around. I knew of his face. So when I saw him, I was like, oh, cool. This guy's in this. Mm-hmm. Again, like you said, he's someone who I thought, you know, handsome in a way that you can acknowledge, I don't know, the presence of the sun. Oh, it's a sunny day.
Yeah.
Like, it's fact. He's a handsome man. I'm like, oh, that's a handsome dude
who
has that great voice and does acting, whatever. But yeah, House of Cards, when he played Remy, which is kind of like a chief of staff type thing, mm-hmm. a situation with Frank Underwood, played mm-hmm. by Kevin Spacey, I remember sitting upright and I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And that was a real moment of, oh, this is nice. I want it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got a little clip for us, right?
I've got a little clip. So this scene is from the third season. It's season 3, episode 12.
Okay.
And it's basically a scene where his former colleague slash, I guess, love interest, because again, like I said, I don't watch this. My context is all short.
It's all right.
Anyway, she's called Jackie. She's a nice lady. She turns up at his house. So in the previous episode, she's asked him to come back and work in the White House mm-hmm. with Frank Underwood and this whole thing, I think. Anyway. She comes to his house, turns up at his house, and he's at home looking very much like a snack. Like, he's wearing, like, this blue, like, shirt, and it's kind of open a little bit. And, yeah.
Ooh, I love it when men unbutton the top button of a button-down shirt.
Right, and then he's got his shirt sleeves,
rolled up. Mm. Oh, yes. Okay.
I don't think men even realize how hot it is when they roll up. Ooh. Like, shout out to a nice forearm.
Yes, show me the forearms, especially if they're hairy. Oh, I do like hair. What the fuck?
You love hair.
I do, but not like on the back, though. No. Anyway.
Oh my God, there's so much needless detail. I love it. So anyway, he's wearing this blue shirt, mm-hmm. looking like a whole entire meal. Fuck a snack. Like he is just a three-course meal.
Yeah.
And she's kind of like, you know, I thought you would come back. And mm-hmm. and he's like, I pretty much said I wouldn't.
I can't stop thinking about you.
She's married. He says to her, like, you're married. And mm-hmm. she was like, yeah. He's like, I thought you were in love with each other. And she was like, not like this. And at home, I was like, same, Jackie, same, not like this.
I'm not the person I want to be.
You're who you need to be. Look at what you've achieved.
You did it. You gave it all up. In a heartbeat.
Anyway, they are kind of, you know, he's put a shot down to it. Kind of like, I'm not that kind of guy. Like,
you should go. Put this behind you.
Okay. I know we had something and this isn't, you know. And he's like, Jackie, look, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So.
Jackie.
Oh my God, look at this kiss.
Girl, you better come back and get your loving.
Yeah, look at him holding onto her waist. And it's just...
He's got nice hands.
He's got great hands. And oh my God, the way he holds her head. And he's looking at her. He's just looking at her. And then they begin taking off their shirts. And then it's over.
And he's got this really big watch on.
Yeah, it's a lot. So I was like, yeah, maybe I should start watching House of Cards again because this is... magnificent.
Mm-hmm. See, I didn't watch House of Cards. I'm not super into DC mm-hmm. politics.
Power type things.
Yeah, TV shows and stuff. Although I will say Veep is hilarious, but that's a different subject. So I did not watch that, but I kept hearing about this Remy character.
Of course you did.
And I saw him. I was like, oh yeah, he is handsome. I didn't particularly care for a bald head because
I like a bald head. Yeah, I'm a big fan of bald heads.
See, I like hair that I can grab.
All right.
So I'm just like,
wow, what an insight.
Thanks. I'm just saying.
I mean, as well you should. This is the venue for it. Where else are you going to say this shit?
Right. Where else can I be free to say this shit? But I was struck by his voice.
Because he
has a very commanding
voice. Lord.
And he knows how to modulate. And
he's an actor.
Yes.
He's a motherfucking actor. And I love it.
I mean.
That wasn't even synchronized.
No.
Every time I look at Mahershala, I feel like a teenage girl because my overwhelming urge is to put my chin on my hands, like make a bridge with my hands, put my chin on it, and then sigh, dreamy. Because he is actually a dreamboat. He is a handsome, tall, deep voiced, wears the fuck out of a suit.
Come through, talk about it.
I mean, who, how, what gave him the right? Who allowed it? Who signed off on this? Because I want to congratulate them and send them a fruit basket because they did an exceedingly good job.
Fantastic. This past summer, Mahershala was featured in GQ, and I was so enamored with his profile and spread. But
sorry, you can't say Bim, spread. And
Bim is forever a 12-year-old boy. I just want you guys to know that. But the photos were by Peggy Sirota.
She's great,
fantastic. And Carvel Wallace wrote the GQ profile.
Yes.
So I was looking at it, and I was just like so. Again, just inspired by him because I could see all of his hard work paying off and see how he had just really stayed true to himself and, you know, held the faith of himself. You know, he was just like, I'm going to stay true to what I want. It's going to be hard work. I'm going to keep going for it. And he was able to accomplish some things that, you know, maybe not exactly were his goals, but he kept going.
Yeah.
And I was so inspired by his smile, the photos, the story, like everything that I wrote about it in my tiny letter. Mm-hmm. So I just want to read like a really quick thing. In Mahershala's smile, I read joy and fulfillment after years of hard work and worry. This is a man who understands how he has what he has now, how he had to get there, that it could all be gone in an instant and yet remains grateful and present. This is not to say that he is worry-free now. He still has to watch how others respond to him. He still has trouble flying because of racist, xenophobic paranoia. He still has a family he must provide for, but his hard work is paying off and people recognize it. He's living out his calling and joy beams from him. And I am just so, when you can see someone is happy, it really changes your whole mood. And it just, like, he just makes me feel happy. He makes me feel like, if I keep going, I will accomplish all the things that I want. So that's really, seeing him that way just really spoke to me. And it just like, he's like someone I should pin on my, what is it, my inspiration board or my mood board or something.
Yeah, he is an inspirational guy. I mean, I remember back in February around the time of the Oscars, just before, and Shea Serrano, who is a writer on The Ringer, also wrote this great piece. I think it was called something like Three Letters to Mahershala Ali. And there was a bit where he also addressed his smile. I'm going to read very, very little because I don't want it to kind of bog us down. But he said, of Mahershala's smile, he said, it unfolds the way a well-written novel unfolds. And that's to say it does so in layers, in stages, in ways you don't expect, with characters being brought to life out of the ether. It's astonishing. And then he goes on to kind of, you know, talk about what it looks like. He compares it to other people's voices, I mean, other people's smiles. And he kind of, you know, it's wonderful. It's a really lovely, flowery piece. And then the final line, which I love, is just says, he says, it's perfect, that smile. And I was like, that's exactly, like, there are so many paragraphs you could dedicate to it, but that's essentially what it boils down to. That he has this beautiful, the smile gives you so much. It fills every nook and every cranny that you just kind of go, you know what, I need warmth. It's like, it's joyous. I just love him.
It's so beautiful and simple. And the thing, too, it's not what we, and I say we very loosely here, would consider a perfect smile, right? Because he has a little bit of an overbite or something. There's a little bit of an arch to his teeth. It's not perfectly straight. And the stuff like that we see on television commercials or whatever, or, you know, certain celebrities come out with very white, big teeth. But Mahershala's smile is just very human and very real, and you can relate to it. And it just, it brightens the whole day.
It does. And to go back to the GQ piece that you mentioned, I have to talk about the photos that Peggy Sirota did take.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Because we've joked about him inventing the color yellow because he's worn yellow before and it looks amazing because he has this beautiful deep brown skin that I just, I know he's married and he's a respectable man. I really just want to lick his neck and I know.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry. I don't.
No, yes.
I'm not even like.
Right.
It's almost not even a sexual thing. Like, I just feel like he'll just taste good.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, do you know what? I could have a, I'm tongue tied because I find Mahershala Ali so handsome and beautiful, and it kind of I'm a little bit over the top about this because I suppose fancying Mahershala was not a thing I expected. Like, I was just going to appreciate him as a good actor and clearly, you know, a sensible man. And also I have to say this because I am Muslim, I remember thinking to myself, do you know what, if he wasn't married, I really feel we could make a good life together. Me and Mahershala, you know, just going to masjid, having a good time, my mom would be so fucking happy. Imagine us, both of us, moisturized to hell, right?
Yes.
Just turning up at the mosque.
Yes.
Bestowing our love on, like, the rest of the congregation. Like, guys, this is what love looks like. This is black Muslim love.
I love it.
Aren't you jealous? You should be jealous.
I'm jealous right now. It hasn't even happened.
All I'm saying is, I know that sounds like not ideally good Muslim behavior to be flaunting I love, but I will say this, God is not done with me yet. And I am on a journey, and I will get there one day.
I love this, like, gospel praise I'm in just, with your love for Black Muslim
I just,
love.
I just love him.
And I just, we keep talking about Mahershala in Yellow from these pictures that he did, but I think we really just need to talk about, just very briefly, how important it is to see Black people in color, particularly dark-skinned Black
yes.
people in color. Because I know for me, I don't think people would consider me dark-skinned, but my sister, you know what?
I'm sorry, Bam. Carry on. You are not dark-skinned, but carry on.
I just said.
I know, I was agreeing with you.
Okay. My sister is dark-skinned, and I know that she had been told for a very long time, outside of our family, like people in school and stuff, that she could not wear certain colors because it would be too much. It would bring attention to how dark she is. It would make her look darker, things like that,
yeah,
whatever.
Colorism is real.
It is very real. And so when we have someone like Mahershala Ali, Lupita Nyong'o,
Viola Davis,
yeah,
Danai Gurira.
Just all these people who are showing the fuck out in these colors.
Yes.
Oh my God, it looks so good.
It's great. It's chicken soup for the soul, right?
Yeah, and I just hope more people are inspired to wear colors and be bright and be okay with... This doesn't make me look darker. It makes my skin look amazing. It
right.
makes my skin look fantastic.
Right. And even if it did make my skin look darker, guess the fuck what?
Right.
I'm a dark-skinned Black person.
Yeah.
So, you know what? The color of my skin is the color of my skin.
Mm.
I hope you choke on it, motherfucker. But anyway,
yes.
that's the story.
Yes.
Like I said, God is not done with me yet. But anyway, back to Mahershala's
yes.
beautiful, just... Beyond the physical beauty that
right.
he kind of manifests, one of the things that I loved was when I listened to him on a podcast called Death, Sex, and Money,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking to Anna Sale, who hosts the podcast, and he was talking about his career and the things that he has chosen to do and things he has chosen to not do, and he brought up the fact that he chooses not to do explicit sex scenes on camera, and here is the clip where he's talking about that on that episode, which was recorded at BAM in Brooklyn.
So I don't do simulated sex scenes, right? But I also can't get in the way of the story they want to tell. So it's like, how do we go about doing this and you get what you want, and then I don't walk away with just the bunch of just Islam dirt on me. You know what I mean? Just a bunch of just muddy spiritual stuff on me. You know what I mean? Just so I can kind of stay true to my journey and my path, but also not get in the way of the story that needs to be told. It doesn't mean you can't be the love interest. It doesn't mean that you can't be a sexual being in something, but do I need to be like bumping and grinding and doing a bunch of stuff with the girl and flipping her over? Like, nah, I don't really need to be doing that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Nah,
like,
nah. You can suggest some other camera angles. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, pan over to the flower shaking. You know what I'm saying?
I'm here for, you know, consenting adults mm-hmm. doing things that they are happy doing. And he's a performer. He mm-hmm. has integrity, which, again, wildly hot to have a man with integrity. Jesus.
Right.
So there are all these things. And I thought that was a really interesting thing for him. A very interesting line. You hear a lot about female actors having a line in the sand about what they will and will not show for mm-hmm. frontal nudity or whatever. And Mahershala's, you know, joining a very kind of proud tradition of kind of going, here's what I won't do.
Yeah.
Which I think is a very interesting thing for a man, specifically for a man to say.
Mm-hmm.
Even though technically we don't often get a lot of full frontal dudes anyway.
Right.
But to explicitly take it off the table, I think, is an interesting thing for an actor who is really coming into a very kind of explosive career moment to kind
right.
of say, that's great, but I will not do this. Like I said, I find integrity superlatively hot, so that
yeah.
made me feel very good. Even so, though, I did go on a little thread rant of the things that I would love to see Mahershala do in
okay.
the future. So this is a little thread. I mean,
just a little, it's a little something.
I'll post a link, you'll find the thread.
Yeah.
But basically, I was like, I just want to see him in a series of increasingly elaborate rom-coms.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see him, this is one example I said, put him in suits. Put him in shorts on the beach. I want to see him tangled, half naked in a crisp, high thread cotton like bed sheet. I said also, make him an adorable firefighter. Make him
Ooh.
A Yoruba prince unaware of his royal heritage. Make him a small town vet.
Aww.
I carried on. Make him a determined journalist, principled and strong-jawed. Make him a scientist on the cusp of a discovery that will change our lives. Make him a playboy with a heart of gold.
Mm.
Or a comedic grifter who's finally met his match. Better yet, make him a doting single father of two adorable girls.
Aww.
Here's... That felt like spoken word. I felt like I was in a club and I saw Mahershala on the stage. I'm just saying that there is a universe of roles.
Oh, yeah, just waiting for him.
Just waiting.
Just waiting.
I just want to see Hollywood just take their heads, like, collectively out of their backside. Just give him a chance. Give us a chance. Give us the full breadth of human, like, endeavor. Just throw it in there. If I end this time on Earth and I don't see Mahershala as a firefighter, I'm fighting everybody.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me his thoughts on non-explicit sex scenes. Reminds me a little bit of early Denzel Washington, who would not have explicit sex scenes with white women, co-stars. And it wasn't until later in his career when he was with Sanaa Lathan that we saw Denzel Washington get real nasty on screen.
Yeah, he did.
But yeah, and then also it also reminds me of director Ava DuVernay, who says that she does not want to do explicit sex scenes. She will show foreplay and the morning after, but she won't show the thrusting and all that kind of stuff.
Interesting.
Because she said that the intimacy is where the power is. I'm paraphrasing, but that's where she said, like, that's the interesting stuff is the before and the after.
Right.
And I think that's fascinating. And I wonder, too, if it's also kind of a pushback against the stereotypes, the explicit ways that Black people are often portrayed sexually on screen and just in, kind of general mythos of Black sexuality.
I think that's very, very valid. And I do think that that's something that you have to think about. It's one thing. I mean, I'm sat here, a thirsty fan who clearly wants to see my fave topless. Mm-hmm. But I also think you have to look at it in the context of wider culture. Mm-hmm. And have there been representations of Black men as kind of like, wonderbucks?
Right.
I think absolutely. And I think that is something that you should 100% kind of, if you have the power to, push back against. And we should, as consumers, be kind of mindful of that. Right. Having said that, I just, a clean 5 seconds. I just want to feel alive, Nicole.
I would like to see his back. I would like to see his back.
I have to leave the studio. Just someone find me a cigarette. I need to go outside and just calm my nerves.
Mahershala.
I just want him to have just long life, longevity, prosperity. Mm-hmm. I love him simultaneously like a distant cousin who I'm surprisingly close to, but also like the man who could be the father of my children.
Right.
It's a very complex place to be.
Yeah, I understand.
Thank you so much.
I feel you.
But that's where I live.
Yeah. And I, again, I just felt like he was inspiration. And then all of a sudden I saw him and I was like, oh, huh. Because I can't acknowledge that he was handsome.
Of course.
A while ago.
Like a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just goals, right? Like my career and stuff like that. Goals. Yeah. And then I saw him. I don't even know if it's for, I think he's filming True Detective season 3 something like that.
I'm going to watch that stupid show for the first time. Yeah. Because
of him. Same. And he is clean shaven. And I normally don't particularly, go head over heels for a clean shaven man. I'm not averse to clean shaven. I wouldn't say I have a preference, but I do like a beard.
You like a lot of hair.
I do.
Yeah. I'm very into bald dudes and I don't mind clean shaven. So it's a lot. I get it.
So I saw him clean shaven and I was like, he looks fucking good with no facial hair.
Your eyes are so wide right now. I love it.
It's very rare. That when you see a man go from having facial hair to being clean shaven, that you're like, oh, yeah, I would. Yeah, still. But I would. And it was just like, oh, it's just.
I feel like today's theme is trailing off dreamily. Like, we're just kind of like, yeah. And another thing.
He just. And again, I think part of it, too, was again, these were like paparazzi shots, I think, maybe, or something like that. But he just looked really happy. Mm. He was smiling and it was a genuine smile, like a full fucking grin.
Probably thinking about his wife and kid,
Maybe
and
so.
And his little black cat. He has a black cat because he's politically black. Like, I love it. Like,
I'm throwing up a fist right now.
I'm throwing up a fist right there with you. He has a black cat because he's a proud black man.
Yes.
And I'm here for it. I'm allergic to cats, but I could learn to live with that cat.
I love cats, so I am. I'm like super in love with him now, but Mahershala, we really love you, and we'll be right back after the break to talk more about Mahershala's career, including Luke Cage and how 2017 was his biggest year yet, thanks to the Oscar-winning film Moonlight. we're going to talk a little bit more about some of Mahershala's bigger roles, or some of the roles that he's more known for. There is a fan-made clip from Luke Cage that I really want to play for you.
Yeah.
Luke Cage is a Netflix series where Mahershala starred as Cottonmouth, the big bad of the series.
Yep.
And we've talked about Mahershala's voice and how commanding it is, but we need to talk about his laugh and the way that he uses his laugh as dialogue.
Yeah.
Okay, so
you were grinning the whole
time.
Yes. You had the biggest machine-eating grin on your face.
Because it's also, he's smiling while he's laughing, so he's doing that grin. Yeah. You know, it's not his full genuine grin, but it's still magical.
Yeah, it is magical. It's just, his laugh sounds like, you know that Michael Jackson gif? Where he was watching Shaggy perform and he goes, oh, I love this song.
Yes.
Every time I hear Mahershala laugh, I'm like, I love this song.
It's so beautiful. And then, like I said, he uses it as dialogue, right? Yeah. It's a punctuation. It is a threat. It is joy. It is all of that. And he knows how to change the tone of his laugh to get whatever he's trying to get across. And I love that. I it's beautiful.
Modulations, bitch. Like, his voice basically goes to where he needs it to go.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a perfect judge
of
it.
I need it to go to my ear.
All right.
And my neck.
Okay.
And there's like a little spot underneath my shoulder blade.
Yeah.
It could go there.
You... I feel like I should leave this dude. I feel like you want some alone time.
It was a rough day today. The trains in New York are whatever.
Yes. And sometimes when you have a long day on the trains, all you're thinking is, so there's a spot beneath my shoulder blade that I feel like Mahershala's voice could really...
Yes.
I get it. I fully understand it. I don't... Never explain yourself more than you need to. I get it. I want you to understand that I also understand.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So... House of Cards, Luke Cage, and then the film Moonlight that really helped elevate him into the spotlight.
Won him the Oscar.
So Mahershala is not in every scene of the movie Moonlight, but he's so impactful. His presence is so powerful that it led to him getting an Oscar, and rightly so. Mm. Like, that's something I don't think anybody could contest, because his presence was amazing on screen, and it really... I was choked up a lot in the movie watching him, because he was so compelling.
I cried when I saw that film for many reasons. Mm-hmm, I mean, Mahershala's role doesn't necessarily, make me want to cry.
Mm-hmm.
But the film as a whole does. Mm-hmm. The thing that kind of got me about his performance, truly, was, you've mentioned how he's commanding. He's got this presence. Mm-hmm. He's very much in charge of his life and... Mm-hmm. Even if it's not a necessarily desirable life, from the outside, he's not exactly a clean-cut good guy.
Right.
But the scene where he is essentially Little's father figure.
Yeah.
Reached inside my chest and then held my heart. Like, and when I say held, I mean those moments cradled my heart, much like the way he cradles Little when they are in the ocean.
Yes, he's teaching him how to swim. Yeah.
And then I read an interview later where the kid who plays, young Chiron is kind of like, actually, Mahershala sort of taught me how to swim because I can't swim. Like, I was learning for real in those shots.
Let your head rest in my hand. Relax. I got you, I promise. I'm not gonna let you go. Hey, man, I got you.
And it just... And that's when I thought to myself, so I'm going to marry him and we're going to have children and then he's going to teach our babies how to swim. I just... those moments, I thought, I was looking at him and he has, he has a great face. We've spoken about his physicality and his voice and the way he laughs. Mm. I think his eyes are incredibly potent. I think they carry so much weight. They imbue every scene with real meaning. He does these amazing looks where you can look at his eyes and what he's telegraphing is so clear.
Yes.
And this is what I mean when I say, in that kind of slightly Ponzi way, he is an actor. Like, he is acting, but he's wearing it very lightly. And you feel it's very naturalistic, and you're not looking at him and going, oh, look at that dude performing.
Mm-hmm.
You just like, look at that dude. Mm-hmm. I just, watching him in Moonlight, I think, felt to me like I left the cinema and I thought to myself, oh, he's going to win awards for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did. And that wasn't even like me being particularly insightful. That was just the fact of the matter on the screen. I was like, well, this dude is going to win awards because this is fucking amazing acting.
Yes. One of the scenes that I had to get some tissue because I feel like I just thinking about it was going to make me emotional. But one of the scenes that really stood out to me was when Mahershala's character, Juan, is they're at the dinner table.
Yes.
And young Chiron has been called a terrible name, and he's trying to figure out what does that mean and all this stuff. And Juan is so clearly uncomfortable because he knows it's a painful subject. He knows the truth about Chiron. Mm-hmm. He knows that Chiron is going to have to go through this for the rest of his life, particularly in their environment where they are.
Yep.
But he pushes, Juan pushes through his own discomfort to try to set this child at ease. And it was amazing.
Am I a faggot?
No. You could be gay, but you gotta let nobody call you no faggot.
How do I know?
Just do. I think.
It gives me chills just to even, like, it was so, so good. It was very much a good father figure role. And you can just see where Mahershala Ali is just, he is letting this character live through him. And it was just a really beautiful moment. If you have not seen Moonlight, please rectify that as quickly as you can.
Yep, yep. And you thinking about that thing about somebody pushing past moments of discomfort to kind of get to a place where we're both human and we're interacting.
Yeah.
And it makes me think of the speech he gave when he won an award at the SAG Awards, where he was talking about his mother, who is a Christian minister, I think, and he's obviously a Muslim who converted to Islam in his 20s.
My mother is an ordained minister. I'm a Muslim. She didn't do backflips when I called her to tell her I converted 17 years ago. But I tell you now, we put things to the side. And I'm able to see her. She's able to see me. We love each other. The love has grown. And that stuff is minutia. It's not that important.
It was such a mature, heartwarming, excellent speech. Like, you know what? This is an award for this, that, and the other, whatever. Mm-hmm. Here are some other things.
Right.
And he looked genuinely choked by it. He looked like someone who was kind of like, it felt to me that he was realizing things that he probably already knew, but this film really gave him like a really fantastic outlet, working with all the actors that he worked with, working with Barry Jenkins, working with, you know, the screenplay writer, Terrell Alvin McCraney, like people who were just... I feel like he left the set of Moonlight and he was like, yeah, I've learned something else. And then after that, he basically came home and carried on telling us what he'd learned. And I just love that he's someone who I can see having this long, long career. And I hope he keeps getting really interesting, challenging work, that he keeps, you know, surprising himself and us. I just want him to have, like I said, I feel watching Mahershala is like eating emotional kale. Like, it fills me up. My heart is full. I do feel that I am being nourished. Like, when I look at him, like, you know, we've mentioned the fancying, which I think is a given because look at him.
Right.
But it's so much more.
Right. Yeah. He really, I mean, as much as we can call a celebrity that we don't know a complete package, that is Mahershala Ali, a complete package.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Now we're at one of my favorite portions of the podcast, and I hope it's yours. The Drabbles, our fanfic portion.
Although, to be fair, it feels a lot like this whole episode has been one long, like, stream of consciousness drabble.
I know. That's kind of what we're going for. But yes.
This is specific, dedicated fanfic.
Exactly.
I see.
I'm going to read mine first.
Okay. I'm so. Can I just say, I am so wildly excited for fanfic this week. I just. God, he's a tonic, isn't he? Anyway, go on, please. Okay.
Mahershala is in the kitchen and refuses to tell me what he's making. He's banished me to the patio where I'm reading over a script he thinks he wants. It's another lead that dies halfway through. Should he take it? Is he being typecast as an emotional crutch? He knows the answers to his own questions, but he makes me feel a part of the process. It's one of the many reasons why I love him. Another reason is how that careful attention to picking his life's work spills over in other parts of his life, the kitchen, the bedroom. He finally joins me on the patio, a dinner tray weighing down his hands. I barely glance at it, his smile a distraction. He is proud yet nervous, hoping to please despite knowing he always does. He sits next to me, his hand on my thigh, watching me eat as I watch him preen, the sky in front of us blue like a Sunday of no worries.
Be my husband, Mahershala.
Be mine. I might convert. I don't know. Like, we can talk.
Let me tell you something. As a lifelong Muslim, mm-hmm. the faith would suit you so well.
Oh my goodness.
Come
okay.
on through, sis.
I will look into it.
I want you to just consider the name Khadija. Just something for you to think about. Okay.
I'll think about it.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so it's funny that you mentioned Mahershala's smile, because guess the fuck what?
What, Bim? That laugh.
That's so evil. Yeah, good. Oh, my God. I feel so full.
Yeah.
Anyway, so my drabble is, it starts with a smile, it ends with a smile, it's everything.
Okay.
Here it is. Mahershala's smile is like looking at the sun. It rises like it, too, lifting at the corners very slowly before blooming into something that fills my chest with warmth. We've just been to see a film, and I was standing in line in the cinema's cafe, waiting to order ice cream, because he knows I like to eat ice cream either before or after, but never during. He asks me if I have my lactaid pill, because my lactose intolerance is something I mentioned in a fit of nervousness on our very first date. Mm. In a mild huff, I tell him I have it. That's why he's smiling. I can't help but smile back. I mean, have you seen his smile? Mashallah, I say under my breath. He is beautiful. You see how I wove some elements of religion into it? Because I feel like... I want to pray with him. I'm just going to put that out there.
I feel like maybe you should not. I feel like you would dirty up the prayer.
I
don't know.
I would never dirty up the prayer. He would keep me on the straight and narrow. Heyo.
Oh,
anyway,
my God.
All I'm saying is God bless Mahershala.
Yes.
God bless our hands for writing these drabbles. Mm. And God bless you, listeners. Please, please let us know which one of these two stories you like. Let us know.
You can tweet us at ThirstAidKit.
Yay.
To let us know which drabble you prefer. And if you have a Mahershala Ali fanfic you want to send our way, a drabble, 4 to 5 sentences, no more, please send that to us at ThirstAidKit@BuzzFeed.com. Mm.
And remember, now that so many people have the 280 characters, you could even give it to us via Twitter. So just something for you to consider.
And we have a drabble that a listener sent in. I'm so excited. this is from listener Laquana. She sent us a little fanfic about Mr. Keanu Reeves.
Oh my God, Nicole. I love this fic. Yes. It's a little bit long, but we have selected just one line that I think kind of sends across. It telegraphs perfectly the content, which we will post on our Tumblr, which is at thirstaidkitpodcast.tumblr.com. But here is Laquana's fantastic little line of amazing drabble magic. You ready?
Yep, go for it.
Okay. Needless to say, we did not make our dinner reservations that night.
Laquana!
Listen!
I love it!
She did it the most elegant fade to black ever. Needless to say, of course. Keanu and I were engaged. We were playing Scrabble. or whatever the hell adults do. But good job, Laquana. We loved that fic.
As soon as it came in, we were like, oh, okay.
Does your soul feel rested?
Yeah.
Do you feel uplifted, sister?
I do. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So thank you, listeners, for joining us in this wonderful, wonderful journey where we got to celebrate our man in yellow, Mahershala Ali. Mwah. First Aid Kit is produced by Julia Furlan, Eleanor Kagan, and Agarnesha Shagre, with editing help from Meg Kramer.
Our music is by Tanya Morgan. You can follow the show on Twitter at Thirst Aid Kit. Find us on Tumblr at thirstaidkitpodcast.tumblr.com. And don't forget to leave us a message if you require the services of the Thirst Sommeliers on 765-884-4778. That's 765-8-THIRST.
And you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Bimadew, which is B-I-M-A-D-E-W. And Nicole is at TN Whiskey Woman, which is TN Whiskey with an E, Woman.
Thanks again to Death, Sex, and Money. You can hear the full Mahershala interview at deathsexmoney.org.
And we will link to it also on our Tumblr. In the meantime, you can do us a huge favor. That is, you can go to Apple Podcasts and drop us a review. What the reviews do is they help other people to find Thirst Aid Kit. And it also lets us know, you know, when you think we're doing something that you like.
And please feel free to live tweet your listening session using the hashtag TACPOD. That's T-A-K-P-O-D. We love seeing your reactions.
Hello, listener. Dahlia Lithwick here, host of Amicus, that's Slate's podcast on the courts and the law and democracy and the rule of law. This May, our team will be publishing a special project that we are calling How Originalism Ate the Law. This neutral and academic-sounding methodology of looking at the law is, in fact, anything but neutral. Originalism is to the conservative legal movement what peanut butter is to jelly. As we're going to show you over the course of this project, originalism has been both cover and calling for conservative justices and judges to radically overhaul the lives of millions of Americans. And while they claim to be the apolitical interpreters of the Constitution and its author's intents, they have overturned Roe, radically expanded gun rights, and eviscerated voting rights. Across Slate.com and the Amicus podcast, we're going to be tackling questions like, where did originalism come from? Why has it taken over? Are progressive originalists really a thing? And am I allowed to have an opinion on originalism? Spoiler, the answer to that last question, you are. To celebrate the launch of this big project, we are running a special 2-week-long free trial of Slate Plus on Apple Podcasts. As a member, you'll get exclusive episodes from How Originalism Ate the Law, plus ad-free listening to all of your favorite Slate podcasts. Join now by clicking Try Free at the top of the Amicus show page or visit slate.com/amicusplus to get access wherever you listen.